It's Monday, the 7th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Ian Clark and Jeff Withy. Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and TK213321. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the show, just like TK213321, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor. So thank you to TK and all of the other TKs, the other 213,320 before this TK that have signed up to iTunes. And thank you to TK 2133 no 20 no try again 213,321. That's my numbers. Not a good start to the show. Anyway, thanks to everyone who's left a review on iTunes and has helped the show out immensely in that way. Of course, a big shout out goes out to Moneyball for all the support they've shown the show throughout the year. And if you live in Australia or New Zealand and you want to play DFS, Moneyball is easily your best option, so make sure you're checking that out and playing some contests over there. Well, fantasy playoffs are here for some people, not for all people, and that's one of the reasons why. Look, I don't talk a lot in my pre-draft stuff about playoff schedules because they're different. I've been in the Red Rock Listener League's playoffs started 2 weeks ago. I've got leagues starting this week. There are leagues I've got starting next week. It's all over the place. So giving blanket information and blanket advice regarding playoffs is futile because everyone should be different. ESPN standard is bullshit because it runs till the end of the season. You need to go in and make sure whatever league you're playing in is adjusted to what you think is common sense. But this is probably the right time to start it around this time, but it really depends on how many teams you're having in your playoffs, whether you want to have 2 week playoffs, all that sort of stuff. So it all should differ. And that's why I don't like giving blanket statement. Draft this player because they've got a good playoff schedule, because it might fit 20% of the people listening. It might fit 30% of the people listening. So I don't do a lot of chatter about that sort of stuff. But if you're in your playoffs, congratulations. And as I mentioned on yesterday's show, even if you're not in your playoffs, there's going to be plenty of stuff happening throughout the rest of the season. Lots of DFS stuff, lots of hopefully little bits of maybe humor and interest happening throughout the show, and then a whole range and a big schedule of packed off-season stuff happening. A big shout out to everyone in the Red Rock Dynasty League, and our trade deadline was today, midnight Eastern US time, and that league has been ridiculous. The amount of trades that have been going down, I reckon, I can't even count, probably 15 trades went down today alone. There was trades all over the place. I'd have to count up how many actual trades. I would say there'd be close to 100 trades that went down in that league. I could be over-exaggerating that, but even I did trades in that league. I think I pushed through 3 or 4, and that's pretty remarkable for me, because I'm not a massive trader, but that league definitely has captured my attention in the trading market, and really, really fun. So congratulations to the other 15 guys in that league. We've had a lot of fun and well done on the trade deadline. Congratulations in the Red Rock Listen League. If you made it through the first week of the playoffs, you are one step closer to clinching a place in the Red Rock Listener League Champions League for next season. So congratulations to you guys who have got through in all 12 of those leagues. All right, we have got a stack of stuff to get to. I'm sure you're aware of that. So
let's get to it.
Also, if you want to participate in the show while it's live and you're watching it on YouTube, tweet at me at redrock_bball, and we can interact live if it's something that fits into the show. And you know, sometimes some of the things don't fit exactly into the show when I get live tweets, but tweet at me during the show and I'll do my best to try and answer questions as they come to hand. Especially if you've got something you want to question me on, or what did you just say, or you know, what do you mean by that, or you got that wrong, dickhead, anything like that. Tweet it at me and we'll see if we can cover it. Obviously, I know when I do the live shows, it's the middle of the night in the US, so there's not many people watching over there, but it's still the Europeans, it's still the Australians, it's still the people who have sleeping disorders who are still awake. So, hey, if you're watching and you want to participate, that's the way to do it. All right, let's look at the Instagram and Facebook contests first off. In Instagram, you follow me at redrock_bball as well, and every day we have a contest going up there. Sunday's one was Mario Chalmers. How many combined points, assists, and steals would Chalmers had And Ryan underscore Humphreys got it correct. The total was 19 on Facebook, which you can find by searching Red Rock or by looking up facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Toby Harris, how many combined points and rebounds? The total was 21, and the correct answer was gotten by Joseph Diefenbach. And Joseph, I apologize if I mispronounced that, but I did try my best. I rehearsed it before the show, and I'm sure it was terrible. So I do apologize, Joseph D. On Monday, Instagram, we're going to be looking at LeBron James. How many combined points, rebounds, and assists? And on Facebook, we are going with the main man of the moment, Giannis Antetokounmpo. How many combined points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks is the Greek Freak going to have? Speaking of the Greek Freak, the monstrous line of the night is, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who played 42 minutes. He had another triple-double. And I've been on record of saying that triple-doubles are a bit of a bullshit stat, and I don't mean that in general. I mean, if someone goes 10, 10, and 10, people go, oh, he got a triple-double, that's awesome. You have to do a lot of other things as well. And it's, you know, a triple-double, getting a triple-double doesn't mean you're the best player in the game or the best player over the whole course of the night and stuff like that. So in that sense, they're overrated. So players who get lots of triple-doubles, Lance Stephenson 2 seasons ago, was very overrated in his fantasy value because he led the league in triple-doubles. A triple-double like this, when you go 26, 12, and 10, and then add 3 steals and 4 blocks, and go 10 of 11 from the free throw line, that's not overrated at all. That is impeccable from Giannis. And he has just exploded. He has just gone mental lately. It is ludicrous what he is doing. He's a top 10 player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 20, 11, and 9, 2.1 steals, 2.3 blocks on 50 and 72. These numbers are bullshit. They're out of control. He is, okay, the Bucks point guards are OJ Mayo, Michael Carter Williams, and Jared Vallis. No, they're not, because Giannis is the point guard now. Giannis is king. He's doing everything, and he is excelling. Now, I was massive on Giannis when he was drafted, huge on him, and really, really keen on him, and just thought, okay, yeah, love what he's going to be able to do. I think he's going to be fantastic moving forward. And then the hype was out of control for him. I go, well, let's just pull back, because he hasn't shown that he can do any of this. At the moment, no, I'm gobsmacked that he's taken it this far. If you look at his numbers from last year compared to what he's done the last 2 weeks, he's scoring 8 more points a game. He's getting 4 more rebounds a game. He's getting 6 more assists a game. He has doubled his steals, and he has over-doubled his steals, and he's over-doubled his blocks. It's ridiculous. This output is crazy. He looks... It's amazing. I can't get over. They're just coming out of nowhere. Like, just look, he's been good this season. Yeah, he's been great. But he hasn't been this. And this is frighteningly good for Giannis. And he is scratching the surface. He can get better. And we talked the other day, or I talked and you listened, about Giannis and Draymond Green, about who you'd rather have. I'm sure that the pendulum of the people who went, nah, Draymond, it's slowly starting to go, you know what? Giannis might be the better option here, because he is just dominant, like straight dominant, and it is crazy. Speaking of crazy numbers, the waiver wire line of the night goes to David Lee of the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I can look at Giannis's production and go, I had a fair idea Giannis was going to be good, and he had potential to do this sort of stuff. I look at David Lee's production and I go, what the hell is going on? He played 26 minutes. He went 18 and 12 with 3 assists and 4 blocks on 7 of 9 shooting, hit all 4 of his free throws. And I can pretty much hear people saying, Josh, you dickhead, he was an all-star. He was a 20 and 10 guy. I know that. I'm aware of that. I know he used to be an all-star and he was a 20 and 10 player. But that's not the thing that's ridiculously out of control for him at the moment. David Lee, in his last 4 games, has blocked 8 shots. In his previous 32 games this season, he blocked 13. That is unsustainable. Now, look, you should go and add David Lee if you've got someone to drop, because he's been out of control. He's playing ridiculously well in limited minutes. Now, for him to get consistently high minutes, they're going to have to really limit Zaza Pachulia, which they might, but he's not going to play 30 minutes a night, David Lee. And he's also not going to do what he's consistently doing. This is just not feasible for him to continue. 8 blocks in 4 games when he had 13 in the previous 32. Now, Rick Carlisle is a good coach. But you know who else is a good coach? Brad Stevens. These two guys are both good coaches. You can't transform David Lee into a rim protector. And in his 6 games in Dallas, apparently that's what he is now. Just ludicrous numbers. I'll keep going. He is shooting in these 6 games in Dallas 67% from the field. He's at 49% for the season. 67. It is unsustainable. He can't keep it up this way. Let's look at his per 36 rates. In the last 2 weeks, he is scoring at 20 points per 36 minutes, 17 for the season. He is rebounding at 16 boards per 36 minutes. He hit the season at 11 per 36 minutes. He is blocking shots at 2.4 per 36 minutes, 1.3 for the season. His last 2 seasons in Golden State as a starter, blocks per 36 minutes, 0.4 per 36. These numbers are ridiculous. I'll go even further. David Lee's PER in Dallas, this is according to Basketball Reference, and it hasn't included today's game, 26.9, a career high. His true shooting percentage, 65, equaled a career high. His offensive rebounding rate, 16.4, equaling a career high. Smashing a career high. His defensive rebounding percentage, 32.5, at least 5% higher than his best season ever. His rebounding percentage, 24.5, and a good 4% better than his best ever season. His block rate, 3.5%, clearly better than his best ever season. His steal rate at 2.7%, double the next best season. His box score plus minus, 6.9. His best prior to that, 3.8. This is the purplest of purple patches. This patch is so purple that Grimace would be jealous. This sort of production, it can't continue. And if it does continue, then I don't know what the hell is happening in Dallas. Because you turn David Lee into this super efficient defensive monster who just does everything in limited minutes, then I don't know what the hell to believe anymore. Add him for sure. Go on, add him. But when he plays 18 minutes and he goes for 7-4, I'll think, you know what, that's more like it. Because these numbers are just so ludicrously large that, and for a guy who's 32 years old, he doesn't become a rim protector all of a sudden at age 32. These things, the NBA is very replicable season to season when you've been in the league for a certain amount of time. And that's what David Lee's numbers are until this bullshit stretch of 6 games in Dallas where he's just all of a sudden Anthony Davis. Add him. Don't be shocked if it doesn't continue. I definitely won't be shocked if that's going to happen. Anyway, I'm not bagging David Lee. I have liked him as a player. He was that bad in Boston. He was unplayable. He couldn't crack the rotation. He was that bad. And all of a sudden, he is just doing things that I cannot understand. I cannot fathom how it's actually going on. Anyway, the young gun of the night. Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. And yesterday's podcast, I'm pretty sure I mentioned this, that the last time that Devin Booker faced a tough defense, the Miami Heat, he went off. Well, he faced the Memphis Grizzlies, who's a really tough defense for shooting guards, and he went off. 43 minutes for Booker, 27, 2, and 9 assists, 4 triples, 1 steal, and 1 block on 8 of 17 shooting, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. He was outside the top 200 for a big stretch, almost all of February. Now, surging. You've got to go and add him. He's owned in 47% of leagues. But again, these numbers, they feel just really weird at the moment. His assist numbers are way up. He's averaging 5 assists across his last 4 games. That doesn't feel like it's going to be something that he can continue. And if Brandon Knight comes back, that number will surely decrease. But at the moment, he's putting up some ridiculous numbers. Got to add him. But remember, he was shooting about 28% for about a month, and that was harmful. Make sure he's owned. The dart of the night. At least I don't feel completely crazy with some of my thoughts on David Lee. When I see the dart of the night is Harry Barnes, because I've been pretty strongly adamant that Harry Barnes is just not great and he's not ownable in fantasy, and he showed it again. He had 5 points in 29 minutes, 5 rebounds, The whole Warriors team was dud of the night, basically, but Harry Barnes gets the honour. He went 2 of 8 from the field. He is not ownable for standard leagues. He's not a 12-team league guy. He's not a 10-team league guy. He's maybe a 14-team league guy, but when you're ranked 180th over the last 2 months, even in a 14-team league, I'm a little bit hesitant of using Harry in that sort of situation. Just a very, very weird night. The perfect DFS lineup for Sunday. Emmanuel Mudiay, 38.8, and he has been tremendous since coming back from his ankle injury. He looks really, really good. Reggie Jackson, I think I mentioned this on yesterday's podcast yesterday. If I didn't, I should have. He'd been just terrible. And I said, he is due for a big game. I don't know when it's coming, but he is due. And he had it here, 47.7 points at shooting guard. Devin Booker at 43.9. And Jim Harden just consistently giving you big numbers, 68. Small forward, Giannis, 67.4. Luol Deng went for 40.8. And at the power forwards, Dave Lee, 43.9. That's a, yeah, I've talked about him enough already. Ken Fareed went for 54.5. And he is just, what is it with Kenneth Fareed? Why is he just so much better in the second half of the season? Is it seriously taking 3 months to get the idea of how to play? It's a weird phenomenon. And shout out to someone in the Basketball Monster forums who's commenting on my names for players who suggested this one. Big Al Len puts up 50.2, and he has been monstrous. He has been enormous. I've been an Alex Len fan for quite a while, since he was drafted, I was big on him as well. And this trade deadline really opened up the opportunity for him. It took maybe a week for it to eventuate. Hopefully you're able to grab him. I know plenty of the listeners to this show did. And you are reaping the benefits in a massive, massive way. He has got top 50 upside for years to come, Alex Len. That lineup would have given you 455.2 points, which is obviously a massive, massive total. Okay, I'll take a quick break, and we're going to have a word from our presenting sponsor today, and that is SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy your tickets online? Most sites make it complicated, and they all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. Why would they do that? Because they're sneaky. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. It's the best place to go and look up to buy your tickets for your NBA tickets, whatever else, your NHL tickets coming into playoff time. There's heaps of stuff happening on SeatGeek, all your concerts, Broadway shows. If you happen to be traveling to New York, there's lots of stuff happening over there as well. So make sure you're checking out SeatGeek and seeing what's there, because I'm pretty sure you're going to find a very, very good deal. SeatGeek's taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. They pull all of the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time and never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. My listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code REDROCK. It's on the screen if you're watching. One word, REDROCK, one word, push them together. SeatGeek sends you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app today, enter the promo code REDROCK, and bang, you're a winner. That's $20 in your pocket, plus, not only get $20, but you get cheap tickets as well. So it's a win for you, it's a win for me, it's a win for this podcast, it's a win for humanity. So why don't you download that app, enter that promo code, and we are on a winner. Now, while I was reading out that ad, I had a tweet come in. Let's have a look. It came in from, and I really enjoy this, one of the participants in the Red Rock Dynasty Leagues. We were talking about it, that we needed to have an Adrian Wojnarowski for our trade deadline, and they've decided to call him Roj instead of Woj, based on Red Rock, and the Twitter account is Red Rojnarowski, at R-O-J-R-R-D-L, and Roj tweets at me, there were 45 trades in the Dynasty League this season involving 233 players and 44 draft picks. You guys are mental. That is crazy. 233 players out of a 400 players rostered league. 44 draft picks. Roj, thank you for being on the ball and getting that information to you. It's a Roj bomb right there. So thank you for that. Now, let's get into these games and let's talk about them in a little bit of extra detail. I'm going to bring it up on the screen for you guys watching along on YouTube. If you've got a YouTube account and you don't watch the show, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But go and subscribe to it. It's really helpful when I approach advertisers and I can say, look, I've got this many people that listen to the show and I've got this many people that watch the show. And if you guys are doing both, hey, the numbers look even better. And that's great for helping the show grow as well. Let's bring this up on the screen. It's up on the screen. You can see that. Let's talk about these games. The first one, is it the biggest upset in NBA history? Maybe. We're very prone to recency bias, but Jesus, who expected the Warriors to get not only done by the Lakers, but smashed? It was not a good night for the Warriors. Two players scored in double digits. Steph Curry had 18 points with 6 rebounds and 4 assists on 6 of 20 shooting. Klay Thompson had 15, 4, and 2 with 2 steals on 7 of 20 shooting. Now, yesterday in the DFS segment of the podcast, I said, you've got to be really, really worried about using Warriors guys in DFS because there's going to be a blowout and they're going to make, would it be surprised if you saw them sit and play 29 minutes? I was sort of right that it was a blowout and Klay Thompson played 29 minutes. Steph was ineffective and they would have smacked, you got killed playing him in DFS, but only because they got their ass kicked, not the other way around. A very, very weird situation. Draymond Green almost got a triple-double, 9, 10, and 9. And that would have been one of those, yeah, it's a triple-double, but it's not that great for fantasy. He had a 3, he had a block, and he was 2 of 7 from the field. Compare that with what Giannis did, and it's night and day. Andrew Bogut had an issue with his knee. He was able to return to the court and was productive yet again. 4, 7, and 7. 7 assists is awesome for him, but he is known as a really good passer. 2 steals as well. Bogut is an interesting player. You know, I've talked about him plenty of times. If he plays and plays mid-20s, he's got top 100 value. If he doesn't play or he plays 15 minutes, then there's no point. For now, he's a guy, that, yeah, add him, let's see what happens, and then move on when something else comes up or someone else that you want to look at emerges. Shaun Livingston had 8, 3, and 3 in his 15 minutes, but overall, looking at this box score, it's a massive waste of time because there was no Andre Iguodala in this game, and the Warriors got smashed. It's not representative of what you can expect. Brandon Rush, in his 21 minutes, played 21 minutes and had 5 points with 4 rebounds. He also had a block as well, and there's nothing really actionable from this game for them. D'Angelo Russell played 32 minutes for the Lakers. He went 21, 3, and 5, had 4 steals and 3 triples. He does prefer playing next to Jordan Clarkson, and we can see that here. The one game he didn't, he was not good. Clarkson was back from that knee problem, 25 and 4, 2 steals and 4 triples. His ridiculous 3-point shooting continues. Just when I go back, and I like to really break the season into second half and first half, and by that I mean post and pre-All-Star break, there's going to be some stupid performances in this post-All-Star break where I'm going to go, what the hell is going on? Like Jordan Clarkson's 3-point shooting. Marcelo Huertas played 27 minutes, so he's definitely in the rotation more now with Lou Williams out. And he's a very, very good source of assists. Only 10 points, but he had 2 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. What does that mean for Huertas for fantasy leagues? It doesn't mean a huge amount, but over his last 4, he's averaging 6 assists a game. Until Lou Williams comes out and comes back, could you do with an extra 20, 24 assists a week if he plays 4 games? I'm tipping you could. I'm tipping that's pretty handy. It's not often you're going to find a guy giving you 6 assists a game on the waiver wire. Now, he's not doing much else, but he's not hurting you in your percentages. He hasn't missed a free throw all season. Yeah, sure. How many has he taken? That's an interesting question. He's taken 13. Hasn't missed one, but that's fine. He's a good shooter. His field goal percentage over the last 2 weeks is 52. That's pretty handy. He does nothing else. 0.7 threes, no scoring, no rebounding, 0.7 steals, not much else. But those assist numbers are very, very interesting. And it might look stupid adding him in a 12-team league, but if you just want to get like a head start on assists or stream in for assists, not many guys are going to be better than him around. Brandon Bass, 13 and 7 in his 27 minutes. He had 3 blocks. He is not known as a shot blocker, so maybe he's catching David Lee disease. Nick Young played 22 minutes, 13 points with 2 triples, and Kobe Bryant was back, but he's still really struggling. 12 and 2 in 24 minutes on 4 of 14 shooting, continues to be just a horrific shooter at the moment. It's really tough to own him in head-to-head leagues. Heading into the playoffs, I would think that he'd be your first to drop in most situations. Julius Randle, 12 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, nothing else. fine. It's okay for what it is, but it's just who he's going to be. And yes, he's going to get big rebound numbers, but he's just never going to be an elite talent in the NBA, in my opinion. And he's never going to be an elite fantasy talent. That one I'm definitely sure about. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Milwaukee Bucks. Kevin Durant, he was knocking on the door for the monstrous line of the night. 32, 12, and 8, 4 triples, 2 steals, and a block. 16 of 18 from the free throw line is massively impactful. And then he also went 6 of 14 from the field. That's a big night from KD. KD's been enormous this season, obviously. Russ Westbrook had a triple-double. He had a triple-one as well. A triple-one, triple-double. 15, 10, and 11 with that triple-one. You're not so good on the percentages, but still a decent night from Russ. And Enes Kanter, I talked about him yesterday. He's going to come for a big double-double at one stage in limited minutes, and against the Bucks is a great spot, and it came true. 20 minutes for Enes, 18 and 12 with a block on 7 of 9 shooting and 4 of 5 free throws. And you look at that and think, oh, I need to get him. 12 teamers, I need to get him. And then you'll go have and have 7 and 2. And it's very tough to own him. You've got to, you know, hey, maybe if he has 3 shit games in a row, add him and see what happens. But it's just not reliable. It's not replicable enough for you to just hold on to Enes Kanter. Serge Ibaka went 13 and 4. He had 2 blocks and a triple. Yeah, it's just so blah. And Steve Adams, big night for him, 14, 8, and 4. Not much in the other categories, no steals, no blocks, but that's still pretty nice numbers. He is any league that goes, you know, about 100, over 160 and you're punting free throws, Adams has a place. Even in a 12-team league, I think he's got some value. Andre Robertson battled foul trouble. He played 10 minutes, and that gave Deion Waiters 29 minutes, and Campaign still MIA. The Bucks, Giannis, we've talked about him. I've frothed enough over him. Jabari Parker, the next guy, 36 minutes, 26, 5, and 4, 2 steals, and a block on sizzling percentages, 12 of 23, the 2 of 3 from the lines and all that sizzling, but Jabari Parker has been phenomenal in this second half of the season as well. Just think that he played half a season, his rookie season last year, tore his ACL, came back the first half of this season, his ACL rehab, plus basically the second half of his rookie season, and now he is just blowing up, and it looks really, really good. He might be limited by his ability to hit threes and blocks, but he's a very good steal rate for a guy of his position. The rebounding needs to improve, but you're really liking what he's doing offensively. Same as Chris Middleton. This is such a sexy core. 18, 5, and 3 for Middleton. 5 steals and 2 triples. The Giannis, Parker, Middleton group is very, very interesting for the Bucks. For as bad as they've been this season, that is something to build around. Greg Monroe off the bench, just continuing to disappoint. 30 minutes, 9 and 10 with 2 steals. And Jared Bayless played 32 minutes as the backup point guard, 12 and 6 with a triple and 1 assist. Has value to me still in your 12-team leagues, but probably the worst guy on your bench. OJ Mayo, that's terrible. 24 minutes for him. 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists. Did have 3 blocks. No, he didn't. He had 3 steals and he had 0 blocks. He has been just putrid since coming back from this hamstring. He came back from the first hamstring issue, looked really good, went out again and looks terrible at the moment. I was advocating looking at him in a 14 or 16 team league. Even then, he's doing nothing. He's getting minutes and doing nothing. When Carter Williams comes back, maybe he goes down to 12 minutes or so and does just even what's less than nothing. I'll work it out. Phoenix at Memphis. Big win for the Suns. Alex Len continues to be just awesome. 19 and 16, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. The efficiency was down, 5 of 12 and 9 of 13 from the line. But he is showing what I've been begging to see from him for 2 seasons, it feels like. He can be awesome. His last 4 games, he's averaging 20 and 14. 1.3 blocks. And the 1.3 blocks, this is a low number for Alex Len. Last season, per 36 minutes, he blocked 2.5 shots. This year, he's at 1.5. He can block a stack of shots. This is going to come for him. And then if he can be he's not probably going to be a 20 and 10 guy for next season. But 16 and 9, 2 blocks, those aren't crazy numbers. I'm a massive, massive Al Len fan. I think there's a lot to like about him. Tyson Chandler had a decent game as well. He played 33 minutes next to Len. 16 and 10, that front court pairing is not going to work long term, but the Suns don't give a shit at the moment, and they got a surprise victory on the road. Chandler's more of a 14-team league guy, I think, unless you're looking for that short-term field goal percentage boost. Mirza Teletovic hit 4 triples for 18 points in his 20 minutes. He's only going to be points and threes. That's his value effort. And Ron Price played 36 minutes, 11, 3, and 2, had 3 triples, no steals. Adding Ron Price in a 12-team league is not ridiculous. I added him in a 10-team league today. That was a streaming situation to get into the playoffs. And thank you to my brother who I was playing, who went over his games limit yesterday without realizing and had no players play today. So I went from a 6-3 deficit to a 5-4 victory, snuck into the playoffs, and he was out. So that was very unlucky, Jordan. And you are now finishing in fifth spot and out of the playoffs. So that is I'm going for a three-peat in that league. So thank you for that. Anyway, the point of the story was I streamed Ron Price in. He's going to be done tomorrow. But he does have some value. 14-team leagues, sure. And 12-team leagues, I don't hate it, because who else is going to play point guard? Phil Pressey's been marginalized. They refuse to play Archie Goodwin there, basically. So Price is going to play 30-plus minutes until Brandon Knight comes back. PJ Tucker, 6 points with 10 boards in 31 minutes. The other guy who's playing point guard, obviously, is Devin Booker with his 9 assists. But Price is going to be out there for an amount of time. That was not specific, Josh. John Lua, 12 minutes, 4-4. Earl Watson hates him. Just not going to happen for him. And Archie Goodwin, 8 points in his 21 minutes. For the Grizzlies, Mike Conley, 30 minutes. I don't know if you've noticed this pattern, but Mike Conley doesn't play minutes anymore. He only plays 30 minutes, 28, 29, 31. He doesn't play bigger minutes anymore. He was still good. 22-1-4, 2 steals and 3 threes. I think the Grizzlies are like, okay, well, we're probably going to make the playoffs. If we don't, big deal. We've got no Marc Gasol. Mike Conley's a free agent. We don't need to push him. What's the point? Where are we going this season? Yeah, we'll maybe settle into the 6th or 7th seed or 8th seed, but we're not going to matter. Why play him 36 minutes? Especially when we've got a competent backup like Mario Chalmers, who played 29 minutes, had 14 points, 1 triple, 3 assists and 2 steals. Poor shooting, but 5 of 5 from the free throw line, just attacking the rim really aggressively in Memphis and getting to the line a lot. You should add him in 12-team leagues, I think, because he's going to play 25 to 27 minutes. Conley is going to be limited. Chalmers is going to play some 2 as well. Not as much as I would hope, but he is going to play some 2. The only concern I have there is Tony Allen returning, and that might take some of the minutes away from Chalmers at the 2. Matt Barnes, 17-5-3, 4 triples and 2 blocks. Loves playing Phoenix like everyone else does, but that's a big Matt Barnes line. I think that he still does have 12-team value, but he will be shaky. Lance Stephenson went 13-5-2 in 24 minutes. He will be limited marginally when Tony Allen comes back. And Vince Carter played 23 minutes and went 5-4. Jermichael Green with a big performance, 17-5 with 2 assists in his 24 minutes. Not great shooting from Jermichael. No, let's try again. Great shooting from Jermichael. He went 5-7 from the field. He's more of a 4. I think you can look at him in 16-team leagues, definitely. In a 14-team league, I'm probably a bit more on the fence. In a 12-team league, it's streamable probably as the best option there. But in a 14-team league, he's worth considering. His top 140 over the last month was actually surprises me. And a lot of that's coming from 59% shooting from the field. But that's relatively real. He shot 57% last year. He shot 58% in preseason. He's been 57% over the last 2 months. That's relatively real. So he's doing something for you. And it's more of a 14-team, definitely a 16-team, but more of a 14-team league sort of guy. Zebo stunk, 6 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists in his 31 minutes. And Chris Anderson, I was talking up on yesterday's podcast, he's going to play 27 minutes, it's enough, minimum salary for DFS, blah, blah, blah. He played 9 minutes, and he has an issue with his left shoulder. He wasn't able to return. That's not good. 2 points with 5 rebounds. That means we're going to see more Ryan Hollins, but no, it's not, because he only played 12 minutes in this one. The Grizzlies went without a center. They played Jarrell Martin there a little bit. He played 7 minutes. Zebo will play some center as well. That'll enable Barnes to push up to the 4 more, and that maybe give some more minutes to Chalmers too. PJ Hairston started, played 19 minutes, 2 points, nothing else. Tony Allen returning is going to cost him a fair chunk of his playing time as well, I would say. The Dallas Mavericks and the Denver Nuggets. Just a quick thing on Dallas. I tweeted it out before. The Mavericks, the last 2 times they've played the first game of a back-to-back with an overtime, they've rested everyone. Is that in play here? Yes, but I don't think it happens. Now, Dirk was asked after the game, are you going to sit in a back-to-back? And he said something along the lines of, I've got no choice but to play. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to play. Over on Basketball Monster, I've listed Dirk, Deron, Wes Matthews, Chandler Parsons, Zaza Pachulia, all with a probable tag. I think they probably will play because they're perilously close to missing out in the playoffs now, and they're playing the Clippers. Carlisle could also look at it and go, we're playing the Clippers. The Clippers are probably going to win anyway. Maybe I'll just sit these guys. So there is a chance, and especially for DFS when we look at it, that you're going to have Mavericks-less starter. You know what I'm trying to say? No starters for the Mavericks. I think it's probable they play, but it's not without an opportunity for those guys not to be there. Dirk was great. 30-6, 5 triples and a block on 11 of 18 shooting. Darren Williams went 17-3-5, had 3 steals and 3 threes. He played 40 minutes. He has had a resurgence. Everyone has a resurgence in Dallas. David Lee, Darren Williams, Ray Felton, Zaza Pachulia. No, although Zaza didn't really have a resurgence. He was decent towards the end of last season. Wes Matthews played 41 minutes. He went 12-4-3 with 2 steals and 3 triples. 3 of 13 shooting is not ideal from Wes, but some pretty nice numbers otherwise. And Chandler Parsons, the 11-11-5 game. Not a great night overall for him, but still he's been fantastic lately. Zaza Pachulia played just 10 minutes. That is not ideal. What do you do with Zaza? His production, his minutes have dropped down significantly. He is not a must-drop guy, but I think he's definitely in the spot where you go, ooh, I might need to drop him because I need to maximize games played. I need to get certain stats. He's not untouchable at all. I think he can be dropped in a lot of different situations. Ray Felton had a stinker, 30 minutes, which is great, but 3 points with 5 assists is not a good return from Felton. He's going to get big minutes, but he's just not doing anything in that playing time lately. And JJ Barea played 25 minutes and had 15 points with 4 assists. On to the Nuggets, Ken Fareed, 25-20, 1 steal, 1 block, 11 of 18 shooting. He was trash to start the season. He played 36 minutes here, which is something that's completely out of the ordinary for what he's been doing. But over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 17.5 and 10.5 at 66% shooting. Yeah, he is well above what he's doing over the course of the season, which is 12.8 and 9 in basically the same amount of minutes. That's a big increase, and it's pretty stock standard for Free. He does it almost every season, and I just wish I knew what it was. Does he just... No, I don't want to be too slanderous in saying things. I don't know what he does to start the season, but it takes him a bloody long time to get going, and here it is. So do we just make this an annual trade for Kenneth Fareed in January sort of situation? Just grab him. Here, I'll take my 2 shittest guys and give me Fareed, because he's going to just turn into an animal, apparently, or a manimal. He's going to turn into something because he's putting in some just ludicrous numbers. He's shooting 65% over the last month, Ken Fareed. His free throw percentage is it's sneakily bad. I don't know if many people realize he's a sub 60% shooter this season. He was at 69 last year, 65 the year before, but has dropped significantly away. Now, he gives you basically nothing in steals and blocks, no assists, no threes. He's a points, rebounds, field goal percentage sort of guy, but at the end of your roster, if you're doing it on such a big, 66% over his last 2 weeks on 11 attempts is huge. It is such a big influencer into your whole team's overall field goal percentage. And 17 and 10, that's big. But he's just not contributing in those other areas. Nikola Jokic, as per usual, a stock standard big game in limited minutes. And I know there is one guy on the Basketball Monster Forum who is mates with Jokic, apparently, from Serbia. I hope he's from Serbia. And is just absolutely killing Mike Malone over there. It's weird to me. It's weird that Jokic isn't playing when he's playing so well. And we heard it all season that Malone, I love Jokic. The kid's awesome. He's great. He's a big part of things. 15 minutes. I don't really get it. And according to this gentleman over on Basketball Monster, that Jokic is pissed with the way that Malone is handling it. We'll see. For fantasy-wise, it doesn't matter. If he plays 21 minutes, he's still valuable. 13-12 with 2 steals and a block is still brilliant. And if he plays 30 minutes, forget about it. But it's really frustrating. 44 minutes for Gaz Harris. 16 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals and a triple. He is owned in 35% of leagues. Why? What is happening? He has to be owned. He is getting that many minutes and he's playing in such a big role. He has to be owned. Now, Will Barton had a decent game here, 30 minutes, 20 points and 8 rebounds, but no peripheral numbers, but he has been not great lately. You have to own Gary Harris. I don't understand this. Manny Moutier played 40 minutes, 16-4-8, 3 triples, 2 steals, 2 blocks. That is beautiful. 6 of 21 from the field is a little bit tough to deal with. 1 of 2 from the free throw line. One thing I'll say about Moutier is he had that big turnover problem to start the season. It's not there anymore. His turnovers have dipped pretty dramatically. He's averaging, for the season, he's averaging 3.4 turnovers. But when you look at his last month, he's at 2.5. That's a big drop. The percentages are a worry. 38% from the field in that time, 61% from the free throw line. The free throw one can be dealt with because it's on minimal attempts. The field goal percentage is a real trouble. But if he's on your waiver wire and you can afford a field goal percentage, now don't go and add him. Say your team sits at about 46% field goals, 47%, and you're borderline. If you add him, you're losing that category. It's dropping you down, well down. And if that's one of the categories you'll need to win in the playoffs, it's a loss by an addition. And for as good as, look at that. Yeah, the other numbers are great. 16, 4, and 8. 2 steals, 2 blocks. Great. But then if it costs you another category, you've got to weigh that up. And he's one of those guys who can have that issue. Jakar Sampson, 23 minutes. 7, 4, and 2 with a block and a 3. When he was named the starter or when Gallinari went down, I said you had to look at him, but you had to be pretty deep. And he's sort of paying that back. He's playing 23 minutes and he's going to have that 16 to 18 team league value. DJ Augustine won the game in the end for the Mavericks with some free throws on a dumb Felton foul. 12 points, 3 triples, 4 assists. I still think that he does have some 12-team appeal. It's really borderline. He's in that spot with who do you want as a point guard? Ron Price, DJ, Shelvin Mack, Jared Bayless, all those sort of bullshitty outside the top 100 point guards that might have a decent game. He's fine. You can own him. You cannot own him. There's value there in him to some degree, but he is going to be limited, I guess, by Moutier's presence, although they do play together, because 40 minutes to Moutier, 27 minutes to Augustine, that's 67 minutes for those of you who don't have a calculator in front of you, so that means they play together for a big chunk of time there, and that's it's been working, and that's pushing Gaz Harris over to the three a bit more. Barton's playing the three, and hey, it worked. They got a big, big victory. The next game, the Portland Trailblazers and the Detroit Pistons. CJ McCollum, 22 points, 5 dimes, 2 steals, and 2 threes. 9 of 15 shooting. You're very happy with that. Dame Lillard, 26, 5 and 5. Not the best shooting night for him. 8 of 22, but still hit all 8 of his free throws. And Al-Farouq Aminu, after I declared him dead, he had a decent outing. 16 and 3 with 4 triples. No other stats. And 32 minutes. I still stand by it. He's done nothing for about 4 weeks, maybe even more. I don't know if he's a must-hold guy. Mason Plumlee struggled with his production, only 17 minutes, 4, 2, and 3, while Myers Leonard got some extra run playing 23 minutes, scoring 10 points with 4 rebounds. I'm still a Mason Plumlee guy for your 12-team leagues, depending on your team. Leonard is probably not in that zone, and Mo Harkless is back in the rotation, but it's more for 16-team leagues now. 7 and 3 in 21 minutes for Mo. Gerald Henderson had 6 points in his 22 minutes. Alan Crabb had 6 in his 24 minutes. Remember, there was a stage when people were all like, Alan Crabb's a must-add. He's fine, Alan Crabb. He's a real good dude, apparently, from what I've heard. But he's not a 12-team league guy to me. I don't think he really ever was. His value is inflated by his super low turnovers, which are at 0.5 for the last month, which is obviously awesome. He just does nothing else, really, to get me all that excited. The Pistons, big win for them. Reg Jackson, 30 points, 9 assists, 2 steals. Really good percentages as well, 11 from 19 from the field. And Toby Harris had a big game, 16, 5, and 5, 2 steals and 2 threes. You know that I've been on the Toby Harris bandwagon for a couple of years. I'm a huge Harris fan, and this is a great situation for him. Andre Drummond, 14 and 18 with a steal and a block. He's just going along and not being spectacular, but being decent. And Marcus Morris, 19 points, 2 triples, 3 rebounds, nothing else on 5 of 14 shooting. That's not a bad night for Morris, to be honest. It's not terrible. But he's not a must-own guy to me anymore. Reggie Bullock. Really, really interesting what's happening with Reggie Bullock here. Now, he's going to lose minutes when Stan Johnson comes back. 26 minutes for Bullock. 11 and 7, 3 triples and 2 assists. He hit all 3 of his shots, which is obviously a bonus, and it's not replicable. But he's putting up some decent running and getting decent minutes. And that's interesting for him, because over the last 2 weeks, he's almost inside the top 100 in 24 minutes a game. Is there anything to see here with him dynasty-wise long-term? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Stanley Johnson, Toby Harris, all these guys ahead of him. But there's just something there about him. He's playing really well, and he's also shooting just the lights out. 59% in the last month when he beat, is it 40 for the season? He shot 34 last year, he shot 36 the year before. He's shooting at a ridiculously high rate, which is bound to come down, but he's playing easily the best basketball of his career. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope played 37 minutes, 16-7 with a triple and a steal, probably his best game since returning from that groin injury. And not much else to talk about in Detroit. Philadelphia and Miami is the next game. Ish Smith played 38 minutes. The Sixers were without Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, and Nick Stauskas. So Smith went 21-4-5 with two triples. Big game from him. Bob Cove, only the 9 points in 3 of 10 shooting, but still 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 1 triple. Production across the board from Bob Cove, and it's a big night. Isaiah Cannon was another guy that was always a great tournament punt option, and he would have paid off beautifully. 33 minutes for Cannon, 17-3-4 with 4 triples, and Hollis Thompson also was good too, 16-4 with 4 triples in his 37 minutes. Neither of these guys are worth your standard league look. Jeremy Grant has been disappointing, I think it's fair to say, in a starting role recently. 37 minutes for him, 6 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks, while Rishon Holmes disappointingly only played 15 minutes to me, but still 7 points and 3 blocks in that time. He is a real per-minute guy and really, really interesting guy to look at. Carl Landry had 18 points in 26 minutes. What year is this? 7 rebounds as well for Landry. With Noel and Okafor out, he started the last 2 games. He's not really worth a stream unless you're talking 16 to 18 team leagues. And Elton Brand played his second game and played 6 minutes. Well done to Elton Brand. On to the Heat. Goran Dragic, 23-8-5. He has been phenomenal in this 2016 portion of the campaign. Luol Deng, 12-14-4. 2 steals, a block, and a 3. So big night for him. And of course, Hassan Whiteside, 14-13. 7 blocks. What happened to the free throw magic? He was down to 6 of 10. That's back to the bad old Hassan. Let's see how it holds up over the next week or so. But he's shown drastic improvement there. Not a good night for him tonight in that sort of sense. Also only 4 of 11 from the field, so maybe his touch was just off in general. Dwayne Wade, 23 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. His shithouse field goal percentage, 5 of 15, but beautiful 3 of 14 from the free throw line. And Joe Johnson had 14-5 in his 31 minutes, and he should be owned in most leagues. Justice Winslow, no, he shouldn't be. 30 minutes, 6-2, 2 steals, and a triple. Interesting dynasty potential. But I don't know how well he translates into an awesome fantasy prospect. And Joshy Richardson, 23 minutes for him, 7 points with a triple, nice shooting, just continues to be impressive to me. Houston Rockets and the Toronto Raptors, the last game of the night. Jim Harden, 40 points, 5 rebounds, 14 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. The Rockets got the win, but Harden's still probably going to be pissed off because he wasn't the monstrous line of the night. So Jim, I am sorry, you've had plenty though. Big night from him. He is storming home at a ridiculous pace, and I am sure that he has just gone, okay, enough is enough. Yep, I was, maybe he didn't. Maybe I'm imagining all this, but I reckon he's gone, I was shit, I was bad, I was fat, I was lazy. We're making the playoffs, and I'm doing it. And he is just doing everything. And he is, and Ty Lawson's not there, so maybe that's a good thing, but he is blowing up. Dwight Howard was good, 21-11, 1 steal and 2 blocks. Actually hit 3 of his 4 free throws as well. And Trev Ariza had 13 points with 3 triples and 3 steals. The 3 threes and 3 steals from Ariza is his bread and butter. That's the money. That's where he gets it from. And that's beautiful. Corey Brewer had 23 points and 5 steals. He is the most ridiculous player who will put up these bullshit stat lines where you go, what the hell is going on? Corey Brewer had 23 points and 5 triples. He doesn't hit threes. He doesn't score. And then in the next game, he'll have like 24 steals. He just does these things where you go, or 51 points apparently Corey Brewer was able to do. Like these things, he just has the most unpredictable stat lines at times. Patrick Beverley played 41 minutes, only had 7 points, but still 2 triples, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. Puts him squarely in the consideration for 12 team leagues. Donatas Motiejunas played 20 minutes, had 4 points, 4 rebounds. I still hold out hope. I want him to get to 30 minutes. He might not get there. But interestingly, Terrence Jones didn't play. Josh Smith didn't play. Smith out of the rotation completely. Montrezl Harrell is preferred to him. Clint Capela played 10 minutes. And Terrence Jones, I don't know. He's probably got a bowler at the moment, Jones. I don't know. He's not good. The Raptors. Kyle Lowry, 17-4-9, 3 triples and 4 triples and 3 steals. Big night from him. DeMar DeRozan had 19-6-7 and went 11-14 from the line. And Luis Scola, the reanimated corpse of Luis Scola, had 21 points in 20 minutes. He will probably have 21 points in his next 5 games combined. Do not overreact to that. Jonas Valanciunas played 28 minutes. That's an improvement. 12-10 with 3 blocks. Continues to be just a beast in limited minutes. And my love for Norman Powell was cruelly cut down. I wanted him to continue to start, but they went back to James Johnson, who had 8 points, four assists, two blocks, and a steal, while Normie played just 3 minutes. Johnson's not a standard league target. Corey Joseph had 9 and 5 in 25 minutes, and Terrence Ross had 9 points in his 16 minutes. That does it for the games from Sunday. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to return, and we're going to look at the 7 games on Monday. I saw ya. Whitney's band called Columbia, and it's called Don't Go. And shout out to everyone else whose bands are involved in the show. Scott Hardesty, Trey Mauder, Steve Van Manen, and the guys from Genderqueer as well. So some great support with providing the music for the show. So thank you to all of those guys. Okay, let's get into these games. There are 7 of them. So the first one. Memphis at Cleveland. The Cavs are favored by 11. The total is 204 points. Tony Allen might be back for this one. We haven't seen him for quite a while. Chris Anderson, it's doubtful he plays with that shoulder injury. They're the two main ones we want to look at there. No word on the Cavs if there's any plan of rest with those guys, but that's a possibility as we head down the stretch. Point guards. Kyrie Irving is at 7,100. Yes, the Grizzlies are a tough matchup, but I don't hate Kyrie at that price. I think that you should be able to get 30 points out of him pretty comfortably. 35 is not that far for him to get to. There's going to be better options than him, but he's not a terrible guy to look at. Mike Conley has been super productive in limited minutes. He's at 6,800. He's averaging 31 across his last three. It's a nice matchup against Kyrie, so I think that he is worth looking at as well. And Mario Chalmers at 5,000. Great matchup, super production, 28.5 points across his last three games in 29 minutes. He'll probably lose a couple of minutes there, but I have pretty good confidence that you're going to get 26, 27 points out of Chalmers. I think that he can. I don't have great confidence. I think that there's a big chance that he can do that. He's probably more of a guy to look at in a tournament, but at 5,000, he can work wonders. On today's slate, there's not many cheap point guards, and there's not cheap centers that are worth looking at, really. And Chalmers is one of those guys who fits that bill. There's just not many options. Shooting guard, J.R. Smith is just, he's just so hard to use at the moment. 4,600, producing nothing, averaging less than 19 points across his last five. In a tournament, you know he can get hot, but that's probably about it. Iman Shumpert almost dropped to 40 in the last game. Even doing that, he's averaging 18 points across his last five. That's how bad he's been. No cash game reliability there at all. Tony Allen, we're not using. Lance Stevenson's going to be cut back with the return of Allen, and that's it. Really, really poor slate of shooting guards in this game. Small forwards, Matty Barnes, 4,700, dropped 31 today against the Suns. He does enjoy playing against the Suns. The Cavs and LeBron, different story. Tournament, not a cash game option. LeBron at 10,100. It was nice when we had him at less than 10,000. We don't anymore, but 10,100 is not a terrible price for LeBron. 48 points feels like it's something that I apologize for that. 48 points is not a ridiculous amount for him to get. He's averaging 47 across his last five. His lowest score has been 41. He's definitely someone that you can use at that salary. PJ Hairston will drop back. Richard Jefferson doesn't have much value. And Vincey Carter at 3,500. He's been all right, Carter, but probably don't want to use him in a matchup against the Cavs. Kevin Love is down to 6,800, and I'm still not interested in using him. His production has been really poor lately, 25-point average across the last five. Yeah, he can go for 40 or 45, but there's no reliability there whatsoever. J. Michael Green at 3,700. He had 25 points in today's game. Not against the Cavs. The Cavs are just demolishing opposition power forwards from their fantasy point of view. And Zach Randolph off a stinker at 6,700. He needs to go for 35 points, and I just don't know he can do it against the Cavs. Tristan Thompson's minutes are too fluctuable. I don't think that's a word, but you know what it means. 4,600 for Thompson. Don't want to use that. And Ryan Hollins and Jarrell Martin and Channing Frye, they'll probably combine for about 4 points. Centers, Tim Mozgov, 3,500. I said there's no real cheap centers on the board. If you want to get really, really tricky, yeah, Mozgov maybe, if he plays 18 minutes, can get 20 points. Maybe. He has had a 21-point game in his last five. He's had a 6-point game as well. So there's no real good cheap centers, but Mozgov, maybe. The next game, the San Antonio Spurs and the Indiana Pacers. The Spurs are favored by 7. The total is 196.5, and fantasy people need to not be all that interested here. LaMarcus Aldridge missed the last game with a migraine. You'd think that he comes back, but a migraine's not the same as rest, so he might not play. Also, just a shout out to anyone who gets migraines, because I know a few people who get migraines, and one of the biggest bugbears of people who get migraines is other people saying they have migraines when they don't. If you don't know what I'm talking about, a migraine is not a bad headache. So you'll hear, and this is for me who's worked in a pharmacy for too long, when people come in, "Oh, I've got a really bad migraine," and I just want to scream, "No, you don't. You don't have a migraine." Because if you had a migraine, you wouldn't be able to be in a shop with 100 fluorescent lights blaring down into you. And I don't know why I'm going on this tangent, but I know it pisses people. I don't get migraines myself, but I know people who do, and it pisses them off when people say they've got migraines. If you've got migraines, you're vomiting, you can't get out of bed, your head feels like it's got a Acme anvil sitting on it, you can't look at lights, you can't see. That's a migraine. It's not, "I've got a bad headache." Anyway, that's a pharmacy-related rant on a fantasy basketball podcast. What an intersection of lives. Anyway, Aldridge, he should be right to go, but that's up in the air. Tim Duncan and Danny Green missed the last game due to rest. They'll be back most likely. The Spurs, this is a back-to-back situation for the Spurs, so we might see some other shenanigans going on. We might see Manu sit one of these games. We might see Kawhi, probably not Kawhi, but we might see some guys miss some time. Regardless, there's not many guys that you love using here on the Spurs. Tony Parker at 4,900 has been really bad, but this is a nice matchup, and that's a low salary. Can he get to 25 points? He's a chance, but I wouldn't put much faith in it. 5,500 for Georgie Hill, not against the Spurs. Patty Mills at 42, maybe, but probably not. Shooting guards, Danny Green, with the return of Manu, his minutes are going to come down by 2 or 3. He'd been piss poor anyway, so I think we leave him out of it. Monte Ellis with Danny Green on him. And that's the thing about Danny Green. He's been piss poor for fantasy. His shooting's been bad, but his defense has been awesome. So he's still got, and that's why he continues to play for the Spurs, because yeah, his shooting hasn't been right, his production hasn't been right, but his defense, his on-ball, on-court defense has been phenomenal. Monte Ellis had a big one in the last one, 38 points, but at 6,500, I don't trust that against the Spurs. Manu at 4,500, I'd love him at 4,000. At 4,500, I'm not all that interested. I don't think he goes as efficiently as what he did in the last game, where he dropped 24 points in 16 minutes. Rod Stuckey's minutes aren't high enough. And Kev Martin, we don't know if he's going to be playing for the Spurs yet, with him about to sign his deal. Speaking of, I forgot to mention the point guards, Ty Lawson. He's due to sign on Monday. He should play. Not using him for DFS, obviously. Small forwards. Kawhi is at 8,600. He is taking on Paul George. The last time that Kawhi Leonard played Paul George was invisible. So, Paul George at 9,000, I want nothing to do with that. No, Paul George is averaging 47 points across his last three. That's beautiful. But he got erased by Kawhi last time. Now, Kawhi at 8,600, he's 400 less than Paul George. He's averaging more than Paul George across the last five, averaging more than Paul George across the last three, and he's a better player than Paul George. I'm fine with Kawhi at 86. It feels expensive, but you feel that at the moment, the lowest score Kawhi's had in his last five has been 40 points. pretty happy with him. Kyle Anderson's looked good, but we don't want to use him in DFS. And CJ Miles, we don't even know if he's playing. He's questionable with that calf issue that's kept him out for the last few. At power forward, Miles Turner at 4,800 has just been bad lately, averaging just 16 points across the last five. The Spurs is not a great matchup to get your mojo back. But, you know, in a tournament, I don't hate it. He had a big game against the Cavs where he blocked the shit out of LeBron's shot and had a few other blocks in that one. This could be a bounce-back opportunity for Turner. Do not trust it, but just let's just watch it. It might work out because he's at less than 5,000, he's interesting. LaMarcus at 7,400. Probably not. Not against the Pacers, who are quite good defensively against power forwards. If Aldridge happens to miss, then Boris Diaw and David West would get opportunities. They're both priced at less than 4,000. 26 points in the last game to Diaw, 22 to West. They come into play as options if Aldridge happens to be out. At centre, Yan Mahinmi, 5,100. I like Yan Mahinmi, but I don't like him at that salary against the Spurs. Jordy Hill, probably not either. And Timmy Duncan at 5,100. That's just too high of a salary. So all in all, there's not much that I love in that game. Minnesota and Charlotte. The Hornets are favoured by 9.5 points. Spencer Hawes will miss again, almost definitely, with that back issue. Point guards, Rick Rubio, 6,700. He dropped 42 in the last one. This is a beautifully set up matchup for him in this one, I think. Does he get to 35 points? I reckon that's a stretch. I don't think he's an awesome DFS option, but he's got potential. Kemba Walker at 8,700. That is really expensive. The Timberwolves have been shutting down point guards lately. Yeah, Rubio is a very, very good defender. Walker is averaging 42 points across his last five, so he's not a horrible guy to use. But all it needs is for him to have an off shooting night and things fall away for Kemba pretty quickly. So there's definite risk. It's not a good matchup. It's definite risk associated with it. I was going to call it a small guard. Maybe they are small, but they're generally not. They're all bigger than me. Shooting guards, Zach LaVine, 5,500. His lowest score in his last five has been 28, which would give you 5x value. Play him in every lineup. Courtney Lee at 3,500. Unless you're trying to build a lineup with the least points, I'd probably steer clear of him. Nick Batum at 6,500. He is an awesome shooting guard option as well. He is averaging 36 across his last five. Really positive matchup for him in this one, going up against the Timberwolves too. Andy Wiggins, 6,100. I'm standing fast. I don't want him unless he's under 6,000. Yes, he put up 41 in that last game against the Nets, but prior to that, he's averaging 25 across his last five. 6,000 is just too high for what he brings in the DFS world. Small forwards. Shabazz is intriguing at 4,200. He's averaging 23 across his last five, 22 across his last three. He's pretty consistent around that mark, and he's getting nice minutes. And in a cash game, if you're looking to, and I think you need to load up at point guard and at center, if you're looking for a cheap small forward option, plug him in at 4,200, get your 22 points with 30-point upside, and maybe it works out for you. It all depends on how your team sits together, but he's been a consistent guy around that 20 to 22 mark, which at 4,200 is almost right on 5x. You might need to go higher, so he's not an awesome play, but there is something there to like, and it's not a terribly tough matchup. Tayshaun Prince is minimum salary, and there's a pretty good reason why he is. Power forwards. Marvin Williams at 5,600 has dropped off recently. 20-point average across his last three, just 27 across his last five, which is actually pretty good at 5,600. This is a nice matchup for him. I'm all aboard Marvin Williams having a big one here. Cody Zeller at 48. I was debating, do I like Cody Zeller here? I know I like Cody Zeller, but do I like him in this spot? He's averaging 27 across his last three, 23 across his last five, played 27 minutes in each of the last two games. The Timberwolves' defense for power forwards is pretty good, and that's a factor. Zeller is more of a tournament option than a cash option, and even then, he's not that sexy. Gorgui Dieng at 6,000 has been really reduced recently, averaging just 24 points across his last five. Not keen there. Frank Kaminsky is an interesting one. He's at 3,700. He's averaging almost 22 points across his last three. At 3,700 with Spencer Hawes out, I don't hate using him because he can give you 25 points, and at that sort of salary, that's not bad value. A question comes in from Ken White on Twitter. Hey, what is that album on the podcast? Don't Go by Columbia. Yeah, that's correct. I'll send you the link out to it. Actually, Ken, and anyone else listening who wants to get the link to the show, go to redrockbasketball.com or hardwoodparoxysm.com. Look at the posts for the podcast, and in about the second paragraph, there are hyperlinks. How old did I sound saying hyperlinks? There are links in there to the artist's page where you can look at their music. So, Ken, Thanks for tweeting that question in. Bryce's band, Columbia. You go and have a look on redrockbasketball.com on the podcast post. So you look episode 527 for the last episode, or this one here, 528, once it's up. Go and have a look. There'll be a link that you can click on, and it will take you to the artist's music. So thank you for Ken for inquiring there. Back to the Timberwolves and Hornets game. The centers, Karl Anthony Towns, is at 8,900. He dropped just a lazy 52 in the last game. He is a 42 average across his last five. I'm not concerned about Al Jefferson or Cody Zeller stopping him. All aboard the cat train in this one. Speaking of Jefferson, he's at 5,300. He's been okay lately, definitely. 25-point average across his last three. That's interesting, and I don't hate it for a cash game situation. If you really don't want to go big money at center, then you can use Jefferson and hope to get 30 points out of him. I reckon it's maybe a bit of a stretch, though. Sacramento and New Orleans. The Pelicans are favored by 1.5. The total is 220.5 points. This is going to be interesting for DFS purposes. For the Pelicans, Norris Cole is questionable with his basketball talent. He's also questionable with a lower back injury. Luke Babbitt is questionable with a shin complaint. The Pelicans are already beat up ridiculously. The Kings, Kostas Koufos is questionable with food poisoning. Rudy Gay and Rajon Rondo are both probable, and Seth Curry questionable with that foot. Now, I need to bring this up for me to read because I had it up before. Alvin Gentry has been pilloried this season, especially by Haralabob. Bob Volgaris, who's been saying that Gentry is pretty close to the worst coach in the league. It's hard to argue with a lot of things. He's had a lot of things go wrong, though, with injuries. He's also played some just ridiculous lineups. But here's a quote from Gentry, talking about Drew Holiday, who started the second half of the last game in place of Eric Gordon. At some stage, we have to start thinking about the future and looking at the future. That's one of the reasons why I stuck Drew out there to start the second half. We have to start looking at Drew as a starter some and playing him. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. If you're an NBA coach and you think that playing Bryce DeJean-Jones and Norris Cole above Drew Holiday because you don't consider him a starter, then you deserve to be fired in October of last year. He had some bullshit reason a couple of months ago. Now, we're playing Drew off the bench. We like what he gives there. We've got certain metrics that we're looking at in terms of his playing time, and his performance drops off after 30 minutes or whatever it was. And now he comes out with this bullshit. Oh, we better start him so we can see, because in the future we think he can be a starter. No offense, Alvin, but he's a starter. He's an all-star. Norris Cole. Bryce DeJean-Jones. These guys are putrid. And now you're just trying to... I think we'll work out. We'll just see if Drew is the starter. He is the starter. There's no debate. So don't give me some bullshit about him not starting because your internal metrics tell you that he drops off at a certain time or we love the punch he brings with the bench unit. It's bullshit. It's beyond bullshit. That is one of the stupidest quotes I've heard. Anyway, Drew Holiday is an animal. He is at 7,400. He is going to play big minutes. He played 37 in the last game, put up 36 fantasy points. It's against Rajon Rondo and his traffic cone defense. This could be big for Drew. I love it. Norris Cole dealing with that sore back. If Cole is out, then it's all aboard Holiday. If Cole plays, is it 5,100? I don't hate that against the Kings either because they're terrible. On the Kings side of things, Rondo at 8,600. 34 average across the last three, 38 across the last five. I just feel really hesitant about using him in DFS. He's had a few. He's really a tournament option. He's not a cash option to me. He's just really up and down, especially at the moment. Darren Collison at 5,200. I feel much more confident with using Collison in a cash game setting, and you're obviously saving money. You're not going to put up the sort of stats, but Collison did outscore Rondo in the last one, and Rondo's dealing with an array of injuries. He's got a foot, a toe issue, a thumb issue, something else. There's another injury he's got as well. It's limiting. Collison, I do like. Shooting guards. There's no Bryce DeJean-Jones. Marco Bellinelli at 3,600. is just not providing anything really at the moment. Not loving him, not loving McLemore, and there's no other healthy shooting guards in this game, so cool. Let's move on to the small forwards. Rudy Gay is at 6,600, and the matchup would suit him, I think. I think it's a nice spot for him going up against Dante Cunningham or Alonzo G or Luke Babbitt, but he hasn't been producing, Gay. This is an opportunity, though, for him to have a big night at 6,600. Does he get to 35 points? You'd have to feel there's some level of confidence in that. And I think that using Gay in a tournament setting where you know he can go off and blow up for 45 or 50 points even is interesting. But his production has been down while he's dealing with his shoulder problem. Omri Caspi, George Karl's just, he's just blocked him, so don't need to worry about him. Alonzo G, Luke Babbitt, they're going to get increased minutes if all these guys are out, but they're also going to do nothing with it, even though they're minimum salary players. Power forwards, Tony Davis, 9,900. He's under 10,000. He dropped 50 in the last game. It feels almost impossible not to use him. He is in a really good spot here. The rest of the guys, Dante Cunningham, minimum salary. Cool. He put up 8 points in 30 minutes in the last one. He is not a points guy. Ryan Anderson is just playing not well. That's terrible phrasing, but you know what I mean. 18-point average in his last three. Dropped 15 in the last game. He's at 5,400. He's at a 54-point game in his last five, and he's averaging just 27. Yeah, 5,400, yeah, that's fine in a tournament, especially against a Sacramento team that's terrible, but I'm not putting a massive amount of trust in cash. But in tournaments, sure, I'm interested, but he's going to be good when Davis is out, and that's basically how it falls. 3,700 for Quincy Acey. If Kufos is out, I don't hate using Acey. I hate using it on principle, but he put up 27 points in 31 minutes in the last game. His field goal percentage has been crazy. He's playing a lot of minutes above Willie Cauley-Stein, which is crazy in itself. But at 3,700, maybe it translates into 24 points, 25 points maybe. Maybe anyone. Centers. No cheap centers, but DeMarcus Cousins is there. He's at 10,700. 50 points should be a really good option for him here against the likes of Omer Asik and Kendrick Perkins. He is someone, he's been a little bit down lately, and by a little bit down, I mean he's averaging 51 across his last five. So still, yeah, and obviously an awesome talent, and this has got 60 to 65 upside written all over it to me. Omer Asik at 3,500, that's still not tempting me. And that's it for this game. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Chicago Bulls is the next game up. There's a lot of fantasy value happening in this one, I reckon. The Bulls are favored by 7. The total is 207.5 points. Let's start with the point guards. It's a very nice place to start. Jared Bayless at 4,100. We're not going to see Michael Carter-Williams in this one, most likely. So Jared Bayless at 4,100. Takes on Derrick Rose. Played 32 minutes. Didn't do much, but in a tournament, I reckon he's worth looking at. In a cash game, I'm not keen. Derrick Rose at 7,000. No. Just production-wise, has not been there recently. Plus, the Bucks are quite good at reducing defenses. Shooting guards, Jim Butler, 8,700 for Jim. He put up 43 in his first game back. Yeah, I think that he's in a pretty nice spot here as well against the Bucks. This is a good opportunity for him, and he's going to be, much like I talked about Jim Harden before, this Jim Butler is going to be pushing his team towards the playoffs, and he's going to be all aboard, on my back. Let's see how we go. I reckon he's in for another 40-plus night here. Chrissy Middleton is at 79. He's been awesome, but he's averaging a bit less than 40, which is fine at 7,900, but there's a bit of risk, but you're playing the Bulls. I think you'll be fine. 7,900 for Middleton's good. OJ Mayo has been terrible. He's a minimum salary player. If he gets 25 minutes at minimum salary, maybe something happens, but even my ability to trust him in a tournament is pretty low. Etuan Moore is out of consideration now that he is back in a bench role, and I don't imagine the 26 minutes he got in the last game will continue at that higher level. Small forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is at 8,700. Fine, use him. He's blowing that out of the water, averaging 55 across his last three. Do you imagine that Mike Dunleavy is slowing him down? I don't. I'll probably put Jim Butler on him, and that'll be something, but yeah. Giannis, lock and load. Mikey Dunleavy at 3,800. Yeah, I don't hate that. He's averaging 19 across the last five, which is 5x at that salary. He put up a 24-point game. It's not a terrible option against the Bucks team, who defensively allows small forwards to be okay. Dougie McDermott went down to 22 minutes in the last game, so that's not ideal for his value. Nikola Mirotic, no price on FanDuel, which is interesting. I don't think I want to use him anyway, even with his minutes. He's coming back from a pretty significant surgery that cost him a fair bit of weight. Power forwards, Jabari Parker, 6,000. heading home to Chicago. He's from Chicago. At 6,000, he's been smashing that value anyway, averaging 33 across the last five. This is as good a matchup as you get for big men. Jabari Parker should be into most of your lineups. You could have a front court of Jabari Parker, Anthony Davis. I think you'd be pretty happy. Taj Gibson. The Bulls have got one of the worst training staffs in the NBA. Gibson had this hamstring problem. I'd been feeling it for a while, he said, and then he kept playing, and they kept playing him, and then it went in the game, and then, you know, that's not too bad. And then he missed the game. Oh, he's ready to come back. So he plays 38 minutes in the game that he comes back, which they won. Yep, that's fine, but there was other options they could have played. But prior to that, before his injury, he was playing 30 minutes a game. So where's the logic that healthy guy, 30 minutes a game, one game back from a hamstring injury, let's ramp it up. Let's play 38. And it's not like you didn't have Nikola Mirotic there. It's not like you didn't have Bobby Portis who played 4 minutes. Let's go and risk a guy's hamstring when we've got other options there. And it's not like Gibson's an MVP or really even a starter level player. He's decent, but he's not someone, I need to get 38 minutes out of Taj Gibson. It's just not how it is. Weird. No, not weird, because the Bulls training stuff, shit. 5,000 for Gibson is too expensive. Bob Portis, if he's playing 4 minutes, you're not using him. And that's about it. Centers. Pau Gasol. He's been fantastic lately. He is priced at 9,200. The Bucks allow big, big numbers to opposition big men. He put up 57 in the last game. He's had some big games against the Bucks in the past. 45 points per Pau shouldn't feel too crazy here. I'm okay with it. Greggy Monroe. Not when he's over 7,000 and not when he's coming off the bench. And Miles Plumlee at 3,700. His production has cratered a little bit lately. The next game, the Clippers and the Mavericks. Talked about that situation with the Mavericks earlier. I expect them to play, but don't be shocked if you have 2-3 guys sit. If Carlisle thinks, well, you know what, the Clippers will win anyway, I'm preserving my guys, whatever. They'll be thinking significantly about it, and it could be an issue. If Darren Williams plays, I don't want to use him against Chris Paul. At 5,600, do I think he can get to 25 points against Chris Paul? Probably not. Chris Paul, on the other hand, at 10,000, his production's been okay, but it's dropped off a little bit in the last couple of games. But I think that at 10,000, 50 points for him shouldn't be too crazy. Ray Felton, Austin Rivers, JJ Barea, none of those guys really appeal to me. Shooting guards. JJ Redick's been quiet lately. He's priced at 4,700. I think this is a nice spot for him. It's a really good spot for him, ease ranking-wise. At 4,700, there is a big chance for him to go for 25-plus here. Wes Matthews at 4,400, there's a bit of a risk again that he doesn't play, but he's been producing pretty well, averaging 25 across his last five, 25 across his last three, dropped 24 today, just consistently around that mark. And at 4,400, that's sort of bang on where you need to be. Jamal Crawford's production's been down. He's always a tournament play only. And onto the small forwards. Chandler Parsons is probably the biggest name here we need to look at. He is priced at 6,900. He had a bit of an off game today, but at 6,900, it's not excessive considering he's averaging 36 across his last five. Fine with using him, especially after a bit bad game. I hope he bounces back.
My name is Jeff.
Green at 5,100. He had a big game in the last one. He was terrible before that. Luke Marmute is out, so you'd think that Green will get close to 30 minutes again. Tournaments, fine. 30 points should be what he's aiming for. Wes Johnson at 43, no for me. And Paul Pierce, similarly, no. Power forwards. David Lee at 4,500. The madness has to stop. But he is averaging 31 points across his last five games. 30 points across his last three. He has had an 18-point game mixed in there, and that's more of what we expect from David Lee. But he put 44 up today. This is bullshit. Like, what is happening? If these guys get rested, then it's all aboard David Lee. But there is some risk in a cash game setting that, you know, he goes back to being David Lee and not the most amazing player in the world. Dirk at 6,600. Not against the Clippers. I don't love Dirk's ability to do that on a back-to-back and at that salary. It just feels too high. DeAndre Jordan at 8,300. DeAndre Jordan in Dallas. Put up 48 in the last game that he played, averaging 40 across his last three. He's in Dallas. What do you think? 40 points? I think that there is 40-point upside here, definitely for DeAndre. We're not using Zaza Pachulia. We're not using Cole Aldrich. And we're sure not using Salah Mejri. the last game of the night, the Orlando Magic and the Golden State Warriors. This is not a good DFS game, I don't think, despite it having a total of 223 points. And I'll tell you why. The spread is 15 for the Warriors. The Warriors lost. I imagine they'll be pissed. And the Warriors, when they get a big victory, these guys sit. When the Magic gets smashed, their guys sit. There's risk all around here. Now, Curry, the last time they played the Magic, he went bananas. And I imagine at 10,900, it's expensive, but I think that he goes bananas in limited time. So I'm not all that worried about him sitting. Yeah, and or, sorry, I am worried about him sitting. I'm not all that worried about him not producing. I think that 50 points should be easily within his grasp after a disappointing night. Lord Alfred Payton at 5,600 has been producing brilliantly. 30 points across his last five, 31 across his last three. Has to be looked at, definitely has to be looked at against Steph, who is allowing points to point guards in decent chunks. 5,600 for Lord Alfred is worth looking at. CJ Watson and Brandon Jennings, not so much. Shooting guards, Klay Thompson had a stinker against the Lakers. He'll be looking to bounce back, I imagine, at 7,200. Yeah, I'm not sure I want to spend that on him, though, to be honest. It is a decent matchup, but not all that keen. 6,600 for Vic Oladipo. Back should be back after that back problem kept him out of that last game. Not all that keen on using him. Evan Fournier at 5,300. He's more appealing to me, Fournier, in a tournament setting, not a cash game option. The other Warriors shooting guards, Leandro Barbosa, Brandon Rush, Ian Clark, not in the discussion. Small forwards, use Harry Barnes if you want to lose. That's about all I've got to say about him. Andre Iguodala at 3,900 will likely be back. And Mario Hezonja at 3,900. I think a lot of people will be on Hezonja, but with Fournier and Oladipo back, I'm not sure he gets enough minutes at 3,900. For as well as he's played recently, he's only averaging 20 points in 29 minutes across his last three. That's not awesome output. If he falls back to 20 minutes, 18 minutes, what's he going to do? Not enough in my mind. Power forwards, Draymond is the big name here. He is at 8,600, and that is a tournament-only option for me. Definitely not a cash game. Aaron Gordon screwed us a lot in fantasy in the last game. He put up 4 points, Skiles-related. He's averaging just 20 points across his last three because there's been a foul trouble game in there. There was a big game in the middle, and then there was a Skiles game after that. He's at 6,000. I'm fine with using him at 6,000. I think he was a 30-point, basically 30 points every game, until Skiles stuck his meddling head in there and stuffed it up. At 6,000 for Gordon, knock yourself out. Maurice Bates, Ersan Ilyasova. You know what? Ilyasova's averaging 27 points across his last three games in 21 minutes. If he was at 3,700, 3,800, I'd love it. At 45, I'm a little bit skeptical, though. Centers, Andy Bogut, if he happens to play, he's at 4,800. I like him. He's averaging 28 points across the last three, but it's very hard to trust in cash. Nick Vucevic at 8,000. Not in this one where there's a chance. You know, he'll play 35 minutes if the game's close. He'll play 29 if it's a smashing. So the risk there and the fact that it's going to be hard for him to get 40 points against the Warriors means that I'm probably not going to invest in him. I feel like today's podcast has been mammoth, so I do apologize. DFS, picks of the day. Point guard, Mario Chalmers, 5,000. Drew Holiday, he might become a starter according to Alvin Gentry. We might want to see what he's like as a starter. 7,400 for Drew. I can't get over that. Steph at 10,900. Shooting guards, Wes Matthews, 44. Zach LaVine, 55. And Jim Butler, 87. Small forwards, Shabazz Muhammad, 42. Chandler Parsons, 69. And Giannis Antetokounmpo at 87. Power forwards, Dave Lee, 45. Jabari Parker, 6,000. And Tony Davis, 99. Centers, Andrew Bogut, 48. I don't like any of the mid-range center options. And at the big center price, DeMarcus Cousins, 10,700, although you could always put Karl Anthony Towns in there and still be pretty equally happy about it, I reckon. We are done for today's podcast, guys, but just a reminder, if you are out of your playoffs, stick with the show. There's going to be plenty happening throughout the rest of this season. DFS stuff is still going to be kicking through to the first 2 weeks of the playoffs. Then we've got the season in review podcasts. You know what? Even if you don't listen, just keep downloading and help the numbers keep up as well. And then straight into off-season stuff. We're going to have lots of guests on talking lots of different stuff in fantasy, draft preparation, NBA draft stuff, summer league breakouts, plenty of stuff, plenty. Follow me on Twitter at @redrock_bball. Also, there'll be the announcements for the Red Rock listener leagues throughout the off-season too, of course. Instagram is @redrock_bball, facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Basketball Monster, great Twitter account for during the day when the games are about to be played, at Basque Monster. And Hardwood Paroxysm has a great amount of stuff happening over there as well. We are done for today's show, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.